From NPR News in Los Angeles and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, NPR's Juan Williams on his day's reporting at Ronald Reagan's White House. First, the lead. Music from the funeral, the national funeral for former President Ronald Reagan. It took place this morning in the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. Day to Day's Mike Pesca joins us from Washington, where President Reagan was memorialized by the former heads of state of three nations and by the current president, our president, George W. Bush. Mike, before we go inside the cathedral, what was it like outside?
Well, first of all, security was tight. The roads were closed for blocks, but there were still thousands of people on corners to watch the funeral procession ride by. Some held signs with political messages ranging from Reagan supported Saddam to thank you, Mr. President. And the people stood in a drizzle on this overcast, very chilly June day.
And inside the cathedral, Mike?
Reagan's casket was transported from the Capitol, where thousands, many thousands, paid their respects. The line, I was there near midnight last night. The line took more than 8 hours from where it started to actually getting inside the Capitol to see the casket. This service began with song, both secular and religious, and then readings. The first was by Rabbi Harold Kushner, who read the passage from Isaiah, the reference to the faithful shall mount up on wings of eagles. And then Sandra Day O'Connor read from John Winthrop's sermon about the pilgrims. He was a pilgrim coming to America.
This is Justice O'Connor. She's one of Mr. Reagan's Supreme Court appointments, along with Antonin Scalia and Anthony Kennedy. Well, here's a recording of some of what she read from that famous sermon about the city on the hill.
The Lord will be our God and delight to dwell among us as his own people. For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us. So that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work we have undertaken, and so cause him to withdraw his present help from us, we shall be made a story and a byword through the world.
This was a favorite, if not the favorite, image and phrase of Reagan's career, the city on the hill. In 1974, he evoked it before the first Conservative Political Action Conference. In 1980, on the election eve, again, he spoke of the city on a hill. By now, it was the shining city on the hill. It made its way into his farewell address in 1988, or 89, actually, of January. It had such rhetorical power that his opponents felt they had to respond using Reagan's language. You remember, I know, because you spoke with Mario Cuomo about his speech in the 1984 Democratic Convention, and he talked about there being two cities, one shining, one hurting. And the image resurfaced again this year. John Edwards, the presidential candidate, the senator from North Carolina, he spoke of there being two Americas. That whole argument traces itself back to Reagan's use of the phrase, the city on the hill, and it was all from the religious leader Winthrop, who helped found America. After O'Connor spoke, another powerful woman, Margaret Thatcher, spoke.
He was able to say, God bless America, with equal fervor in public and in private. And so he was able to call confidently upon his fellow countrymen to make sacrifices for America, and to make sacrifices for those who look to America for hope and rescue. With the lever of American patriotism, he lifted up the world. And so today, the world, in Prague, in Budapest, in Warsaw, in Sofia, in Bucharest, in Kiev, and in Moscow itself, the world mourns the passing of the great liberator and echoes his prayer, God bless America.
Now, Margaret Thatcher was there in person, but that address was on tape. She had a series of strokes that affected her speech, so she recorded this, and it was played along with iconic video of the Reagan presidency. And Thatcher noted Reagan's journey was a version of the American dream. She hearkened back to the language that Reagan himself used in his last communication to America, a letter that he wrote in his own hand in November of 1994, where he acknowledged his Alzheimer's disease, and he said that he is now on the journey that will lead him into the sunset of his life.
And as the last journey of this faithful pilgrim took him beyond the sunset, and as heaven's morning broke, I like to think, in the words of Bunyan, that all the trumpets sounded on the other side. We here still move in twilight, but we have one beacon to guide us that Ronald Reagan never had. We have his example. Let us give thanks today for a life that achieved so much for all of God's children.
After Thatcher, another prime minister who Reagan worked closely with, Brian Mulroney of Canada, spoke about Reagan's leadership in staring down communism.
Mike, it's interesting to look at the politics of these three countries, the U.S., Canada, and Great Britain.
Yeah, that's right. You know, all three, Thatcher, Mulroney, Reagan, were conservatives. Reagan's conservatism alone revitalized his party and the conservative movement here in America. The other two countries, the conservatives are now out of power. In both cases, they're not seen as particularly strong opposition parties. Though it can be argued here, I guess, that Reagan's conservatism even dragged liberals in America closer to the right. And in Canada and in England, we see that too.
Mike, we heard from the father of President Bush, that is former President George Herbert Walker Bush.
The former president shared his feelings through his words, and there was one time when obvious emotion broke through. I think we have that.
As his vice president for 8 years, I learned more from Ronald Reagan than from anyone I encountered in all my years of public life. I learned kindness. We all did. I also learned courage. The nation did. Who can forget the horrible day in March 1981? He looked at the doctors in the emergency room and said, "I hope you're all Republicans."
And after George Herbert Walker Bush spoke, his son, the current president, spoke, he made parallels between himself, unstated parallels, but they were clear to anyone listening carefully, about convictions. He said that Reagan's convictions stood as firm, as straight as the pillars in the cathedral. In the background, you might be hearing the bells. For hours after the funeral, they will be playing. Reagan's body, his casket, is being moved to the airport. It will be flown out to California, and he's going to be buried in his adopted home state, and that will take place by sunset tonight. That's how the schedule is supposed to go.
Thank you, Mike. Day to Day's Mike Pesca reporting from Washington, where there was a national memorial service today for the late President Ronald Reagan.
You're welcome.